a hacer.
Good morning and welcome. And just with the previous submitter, we've read your original submission. You don't need to read that to us. And we've read your evidence. Thank you for providing that on time. It was very helpful. You also don't need to read that out to us because we've read it. But you're very welcome now to highlight what you think are the key points that you'd like us as a panel to take away from your presentation. So over to you.
Thank you very much.
And you don't have to stand unless you really want to.
Oh, I prefer to stand.
Yep.
It gives me... I feel it gives me a position of authority. my name is Hamish Mackay, and to my right is my wife Miriam. I am the Managing Director at Braymore Farms Limited, which leases and farms a property owned by Braymore Farm Trust. It's Adatama, situated 28 k's from Gore. So if you remember that map that you had up with Tanya and Mark, our place is to the other side of Riversdale, on the other side of the Matara River, up in the hills. For you guys that don't know the area. So if you go back to Riversdale, and you follow the road, that road to the right, yep, then go to the right, come back. Can you go and point it out?
Lift the map up. There's Otama coming there.
Yep, see Otama?
Right in the middle.
Yep. Well, we're at the top end of that district, up in the hills. Right, as I said, we're situated 28 k's from Gore. I have two adult sons who are currently working in the agricultural industry. The eldest, Stephen, is a mechanic, tractor driver for a local contractor, and Russell is an agribusiness manager for Westpac. And unfortunately, they're both working today. Brief history of the farm. The original 76 hectares was purchased in 1877 by my great-grandfather, so I'm fourth generation. 3 years later, another 95 hectares was added. In 1937, 80 hectares was added by my grandfather. 1961, another 86 hectares was added by my father and uncle. 1995, we purchased a further 80 hectares, giving us a total of 424 today. Could we put the map up, or we'll just leave that up? That's cool. So as you can see, it's all one block. The original block that my great-grandfather purchased is to the left of the road, the county road that goes through the middle of our property. My great-grandfather got out of Scotland, well, when I say got out, he got chased out in 1868, not because he was a criminal, but he got kicked out in the Highland Clearances. Once settled in Otama and married, they have five sons and two daughters, of which my grandfather was the youngest. It should be noted that the original partnership of John Mackay and Sons were farming 900 hectares by the start of World War I. World War I was pretty tough on the family as two of my great uncles lost their lives. Right, so as for me, as I said, I'm the Managing Director of Braymore Farms Limited. We have other business interests elsewhere, such as Director of Northern Southland Vets, Director of Romney New Zealand, Director of the Otama Rural Stock Water Scheme, and I'm a Director of a commercial property company, and other business interests in New Zealand and Australia. Locally involved in our local Prezi Church, Community Hall, and a member of Riversdale Lions. So right, over page first. Okay, today I'm here to talk to our written submission and enforce and add some factual information to it. I liken environment Southland to the beast referred to in the Book of Revelation in the Bible. When you consider that our rates have escalated, in November 2012 we paid $2,098.60 In November 2016, we paid $2,883.04. This correlates to an increase of 37.38%. This is unacceptable when Mr. Google, he's a great man, informs me that inflation for this period totaled 7.1%. And to add to this, a proposed rate increase for the 17-18 year of 5.9%, plus a biosecurity rate increase of 11.7%, as reported in the Southern Times this Saturday, June the 10th. Increases of this magnitude are akin to white-collar crime, from my business point of view. Environment Southland's reliance on its photogenic zones is very restrictive to on-farm management. Every farm is different. Parts of the farm are different. Just like on our place, the top end of the property has a different soil type to the bottom end, because down in the river, down in the bottom block where it's quite flat, it's a very sandy silt loam. Where up at home on some of the ridges, we can get a bit of stone. As I say, soil types vary, drainage characteristics also vary, and also species of the livestock varies from farm to farm. Therefore, good farm management practices should be encouraged by Environment Southland and be used in conjunction with your physiographic zones. Such as at home, some of the wet areas have been fenced off, some riparian management has been done. Stock exclusion of beef animals to creeks on intensive parts of the farm. We restrict intensive winter grazing of cattle on slopes over 15 degrees in wet weather. Cattle can have the bad tendency of creating waves of soil on slopes, and I fully acknowledge that, and that's why we restrict the grazing cattle on some of our steeper slopes in the wintertime. This action mitigates environmental effects. Intensive grazing. I take issue with the limiting of winter grazing crops in the plan to 50 hectares with a consent required for further cropping. This rule would penalise bigger farms. I would suggest the cropping rule be eliminated completely or changed to a percentage in order of the winter crops to proportion to the size of the farm and the types of stock wintered. Sheep and beef farmers don't appreciate the consenting process. Down here in the south, it's a fact of life that we have a winter, even though you wouldn't think so this morning. As the value of livestock grows and production levels grow, winter feeding is becoming more and more vital. Brassica crops is still a cost-effective and it enhances animal health. For us, we plan to have 3,000 ewes scanned with multiples. Their capital value, combined capital value, and hopefully value of the lambs produced, could be between $1 million and $1.3 billion. Henceforth, the need for well-managed winter grazing, well-managed brassica growing, and well-managed feeding. I note that in your 42A report, that if we are outside your setback distances, Environment Southland requires a farm environmental plan to be prepared. We've had a farm environmental plan completed, and to be honest, I regarded it as a waste of time and money. It told me nothing I didn't already know. All it achieves is keeping the green bottom people happy and appeasing the Green Party. What looks good and what happens are two completely different things. All it is doing is Environment Southland is creating cost to the farmers. Exclusion of stock from waterways means a requirement of an on-farm water scheme. We are fortunate at home as we are consumers of the Otama Rural Stock Water Scheme. So I sat down before I did this, and you've got a copy of this, and I had a quick work out of how much it would cost to put a scheme into it if we purchased a neighbouring 80-hectare block, which has no water. Pipe and troughs, $11,300. Pipe installation, $4,000. Staff time, $2,500. And then I put consent, pump, installation, and finding water, question mark, because we went My father went through that process years ago, and it was an absolute battle. And I put that $100,000 there, because to be honest, that's an unknown. Totaled $116,800. This is a large capital investment in Environment Southland. Environment Southland need to be careful of expectations of costs incurred by farmers. Right. Now, this is the big one for us. Rule 25. Cultivation on slopes. As I see there, farm name is Braymore, and Braymore is Gaelic for many hills. Environment Southland recommendations that no mechanical cultivation on land steeper than 20 degrees or other cultivation on land steeper than 25 degrees is ridiculous. It does not fit into our farm plan. On the farm map supplied, the red shaded areas, oh, it hasn't come up that well. Where is it? Where it's off, that one? Can you bring that up, Ray?
We can see it fine in the pre-circulated copies that we already
have. Yeah, there we are. I was wanting to put up for the other guys. Okay. Now, these red shaded areas are what we... I have an app on my phone. I've been around with it. It's a stick of wood in different places. They are the areas that are over 20 degrees. So I sort of tried to work it out. I reckon it's between about 17 and 20% of our total land area. Environment Southland's recommendation are ridiculous because, one, loss of production, two, health and safety, three, animal health, four, cost of cultivation. So number one, loss of production. It's a fact of life as a farmer, if you don't renew pasture species, production levels are lost, especially when it could be 20% of our farm. Health and safety. Under our health and safety policy, it is all about eliminating and minimising risk. Non-cultivation of a 20 degree slope is going to create many dangerous plough banks at the top of the slope and a plough furrow at the bottom of the slope, between 100 and 150 centimetres in height. The Environment Southland ruling will create hazards all over our property, creating points of non-return for staff, family members on four-wheelers, side-by-sides and tractors. Animal health. Plough furrows created on slope land would be an ideal place for sheep to be cast in. Cost of cultivation. For goodness sakes, the tractor will always be turning. Implements will be out of the ground more than in it. This will increase the use of fuel and our staff time. How is a bulky driver supposed to sow fertiliser with some precision when you're going to have all these hazards? Over time, the banks are going to tear the running gear out of bulkies. I'm sure Moose and David Andrews Transport, our local transport operators, will be overjoyed with the huge increase in repairs and maintenance bill to their bulkies. Cultivation on land with a slope greater than 20 degrees would be better served with a best farm practice approach rather than the costly, time-consuming consenting process. 20 degrees is not steep, gentlemen. Can you put your point it to the Fox's tank paddock? Or Fox's tank paddock? Yeah. Is that going to work?
Do I have a light?
Does this have a light?
And yes, it does. In the middle, you see...
To the right, keep going, down, yep, that one there. Right, go up to the middle bit. I've measured that slope quite accurately. That's 24 degrees, it ranges from about 23 to 26. I can quite comfortably, if ground conditions are spot on, and I've got the tractor ballasted up, I can pull five furrows up there quite easily. So that's not steep. This year, in front of our house, we did do one steep bit, sowed it out, had to do it all downhill, but that was getting up there, that was 29 to 30. That's my limit. Right. When I send staff out to cultivate paddocks, I want them to take the John Deere tractor, not a protractor. Right, so to conclude, being here, I'm not just speaking for Miriam and myself. I'm not only speaking for ourselves, but for future generations of Mackays and other farming families in Southland. I assure you that I'm way out of my comfort zone. I'd be much happier at home tending to our livestock. Therefore, I wish to publicly acknowledge industry organisations such as Beef and Lamb New Zealand and Federated Farmers and the good job they did in motivating us as farmers to get into gear and front up for these hearings. It saddens me to think that in New Zealand, generally some of our parliamentary politicians, local politicians, urban people, and lobby groups such as Forest and Bird and Fish and Game and other environmentally green-bottomed people seem to think that livestock farmers do not care about the environment. This is totally untrue. I think the 99.9% of farmers are great custodians of their land. To farm successfully, farmers are always trying to balance on-farm production, weather and environment on a daily basis by using best farm practices. This land and water plan is totally flawed. If the current plan is accepted by Environment Southland Council, farming in Southland will be decimated. I predict production could be cut by 20% within 10 years. Farm incomes will be slashed and land values will come back substantially. How poor do you want Southland to be? You guys are hell-bent on farming by consent. That's not part of our business plan and never will be. Farmers are going to be deemed to be criminals by association of their farm ownership. Environment Southland needs to be supportive and encourage best farm practices and work with farmers and work with good industry groups such as YFC, Federated Farmers and Beef and Lamb New Zealand. Not be restrictive, heavy-handed and being a cost-plus industry. I look forward with intent to see what restrictions Environment Southland try to apply to large industry in Southland and the voting public in our Southland towns and Invercargill City. Southland farmers are not just a scapegoat. Towns and cities are polluters too. And I just want to close. When I said had two great uncles killed in World War One, if they could read this and see this, to the authors of that land and water plan document, I'm sure they'd kick their backsides all the way from here to Turkey and back and then shoot them for treason. Because that is totally flawed, that document. The science, as the previous submitter has told you, the science has not been completed well enough. It hasn't been peer-reviewed, and there's no economic analysis done on the effects of this plan. Thank you for your attention today.
Just to the audience, you don't need to clap up as submitters. This is not a public meeting. That's actually a hearing where we're trying to understand issues of concern to the submitters. So you may feel enthusiastic, but it'd be good if you could just refrain from doing that, please. You did make some questions, some early comments about the rates. Understand your concern, but that's not something this panel can address. Our job is to decide what should the plan say.
Yeah, that's
not
fair enough.
What should the rates be from Environment Southland, so we can't really deal with that as an issue. I'll just see if we have any questions for you.
Thank you, Tim. Just one, really. I noticed on your well-presented map all the areas that are you've marked in red. Of those areas, how many of them are directly alongside streams?
Very, very few. Because our place is quite steep, the real only stream is down in that bottom block where there's only two red bits, and we've done riparian management down there. We've fenced off the worst bits of it. But with a lot of our place, a lot of those red areas, some are uncultivated areas because they're gullies, and the only time water appears is in the wintertime when you have a surface water runoff after heavy rain.
Yeah, thank you, Hamish. Does water quality measurement have, in your view, any part in environmental management and farm practice?
No. It's in this report, it staggers me, you talk about sediment, I didn't talk about this, sediment coming out of tile drains.
Well, in my mind, if there's sediment coming out of tile drains, the tile drains haven't been installed properly to start with. And on our property, I'd hate to think how many tile drains there are. I would estimate it'll be over 20k of them. After heavy rain, you can go to the end of the, which is a good time to check your outlets, and the tile drains are running crystal clear. And some of these tile drains have been put in since when I was, before I was born. So, you know, they've been in the ground for over 53 years.
Peter? Good morning, Mr. McKay. You say you've got a farm management plan?
Yes.
Is that, were you involved in the development of that?
I sort of, it was actually done by one of your, Environment Southland officer. I showed her, gave her the farm map, pointed out any hazards and left her to it, really. She asked me any pertinent questions. We've also have had a plan done for overseer. I actually haven't received that yet. The experts out there are actually starting to question the accuracy of overseer, so I wouldn't place too much relevance to that.
Do you think there'd be more? I know you don't consider the farm management plan of much use to you, but do you think that there is potential there if the farm is more directly involved in the operation?
Yeah, probably, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yep. You know the farm best.
Well, I've been there all my life.
In identifying, for example, critical source areas?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks very much for your submission. Actually, I found a lot of it to be quite useful.
Thank you.
I want to know, though, whether or not what your view is of all the media and the information about declining water quality as a result of intensification of farming. Do you accept that, or do you think that it's not reliable information? Do you have any comment on that?
Yeah, I will make some comments. No, I don't accept it. I was talking to one of the submitters that's going to speak tomorrow afternoon, and he's done a lot of homework into this, and he was telling me in the last 10 years, the stocking rate in Southland across all species of livestock has decreased by 770,000. And really I believe that because we've become much more efficient as farmers, number one because of genetics, number two because of better on-farm management, and our drive for productivity is on a per head basis rather than on a per hectare basis. Water quality today, I believe, hasn't deteriorated very much at all. A lot of things that are talked about in this plan is you're trying to defy Mother Nature. Of course, when it rains or we have a large weather event, of course water's going to run downhill. Of course some dirty or discoloured groundwater is going to flow into our creeks and eventually into the waterways. But that's how Mother Nature works. You can't stop Mother Nature. But as farmers, the majority of farmers go out of their way to make sure that they do things right for their environment. We can't afford, with the value of land, especially today, and the value of livestock, to stuff things up.
Okay, thanks very much.
Now you said in your verbal comments that you cultivate a slope on your farm 29 to 30 degrees and that's as high as you go. So is that the upper limit of cultivation here?
You couldn't go up it. You had to go down it.
Yeah.
You could go across it. The brakes in the John Deere were pretty hot the time I finished sowing it out with a 3-ton roller up the bum. Yeah, no, that was steep enough.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that was with what, a dual?
4-wheel drive, dual tractor, yeah.
Right, thank you very much for your submission and making your points very clear now.
Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.